my faves. How are you guys? It's Nicole, and you have reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. Welcome. Glad you're here. So here we are, guys, sort of in the evolving world of weird. You and I have been together for these weeks and weeks, dealing with the uncertainty and the frustration and sometimes the joy of the moments of quarantine. And here we are, I mean, kind of maybe at the end of it. It's so hard to know how to feel, right? It's super weird. But I'll just tell you what's happening in my life is that my town is opening up. Right now, you can't go to a restaurant yet and eat in, but a lot of the businesses are open. And my daughter, who is 17, is back to work as a barista in our local coffee shop. And, you know, things are just sort of kind of back to normal. And it's sort of hard to know how to feel about that, right? We're all in such uncertain times. And, you know, obviously it's time to open back up. I totally respect that. But there's also feelings of, you know, just uncertainty. You know, how's this going to go? What's right and what's wrong? And I think we're all going to just have to weather the storm together. As usual, I replace my fear with curiosity. And I say, I wonder how this is going to go. And however this goes, it's okay for me. And remember, guys, acceptance doesn't mean agreement. So just because I say, however this goes, it's okay for me, there are many ways that it can go that I am not going to like or enjoy, but I accept it because the best thing we can do in order to feel peace is whatever decision we make to come into full alignment with it. So when my 17-year-old said, can I go back to work? I said yes, because I considered the cost-benefit analysis of her mental health and being told no another, you know, however many weeks in the house was not healthy for her. So however it goes, it's okay for me. I made my decision and I'm in full alignment with it. So I hope the same for you guys, because I'm sure everybody's in somewhat of a state of, you know, just wondering how this is going to go as our country and our world continues to reopen. And I guess we'll see. So that's where I am today. I hope I find you in a similarly peaceful place. What else can I tell you? First of all, okay, I'm putting my plug in at the beginning of the podcast because when I do this at the beginning, I find that it is more effective. It would mean so much to me if you would jump over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast. One of the things that I've been finding most heartening is reading the reviews, seeing the ratings rise, and hearing from people that they're finding my podcast on searches. Searches about different chronic conditions, searches around chronic pain, searches around self-help and self-compassion and all sorts of different topics. And that's because of you guys. So thank you for rating and reviewing it. If you haven't and you're enjoying this podcast, it would be a great favor to me to rate it and review it on iTunes. Thank you. Plug over. I hope you guys enjoyed my interview last week with Lisa Schlossberg. She's so smart and so good about all things body image and weight and trauma over weight issues. And she's just so smart and so good. And also just the whole concept, forget weight, of just being embodied, of allowing ourselves to come back into our bodies after we have experienced some level of disconnection with our bodies, which whether weight is an issue or anxiety is an issue or pain or OCD or a condition like irritable bowel or, you know, whatever it is that you find yourself suffering from, it's so difficult to stay in alignment with our bodies, to stay embodied, to stay connected, because, you know, it's easy to feel like our bodies are against us, even though I know they're not. And maybe you can hear intellectually that they're not. It's hard. It's hard when we're suffering to feel like our body is with us in this journey instead of making it harder. And of course, your body is with you because this is just brain science. And when we're in a state of sustained fight or flight, when our reservoirs of rage and shame and sadness and grief and trauma and fear are overflowing, our brain and our nervous system has but one option: to choose the lesser predator. The pain is the lesser predator as compared to the brain and their nervous system's perception of the danger of feeling your feelings. And so when the feelings are felt wholesomely and compassionately, the pain signals, the signals of symptoms and different conditions, they stop firing, and that's how we get well. So Lisa's great at helping us come back into our bodies, and that is what she's going to be teaching at my virtual retreat, June 5th through the 7th. And so I do hope you enjoyed my interview with her. That's just but a little taste of what she'll be teaching. And so I'm trying to think. I think we're 2 weeks out from the retreat. There's a few spots left, so please, if you're interested, sign up right away so I can get the materials out for you so you can get your complimentary copy of my online course and all my original meditations. All four of them are part of your fee for coming to the retreat. So you will get those right away. You will get those on the day you sign up. I've been really vigilant about making sure to get all those emails right out to people with those attachments, and so they can have everything they need to pregame before the retreat should they choose to do so. I'm also really excited to announce that Curable will be officially sponsoring the retreat. I love working alongside with Curable. You know, I can't do this myself, guys. And Curable is an actual app. If you haven't heard of it, you have to check it out. So I've been working with Curable for a while because I'm so thrilled that there's a partner out there that is actually doing this chronic pain work as inspired by Dr. Sarno's work, and their contributors to their brand and to their app are some of the best doctors that are carrying on Dr. Sarno's work, like Dr. John Strax, like Dr. David Clark, among others. And so I'm really excited that Curable is officially sponsoring my retreat. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Curable, it is used by more than 100,000 people around the world with chronic pain. And it's the first app ever to deliver evidence-based methods for chronic pain self-care. It's just so easy to use. It helps you guys, you know, alongside my work, understand pain science education. There are hundreds of exercises designed to break the pain cycle, you know, alongside journal speak. There's so many other things that can be done. You know, I obviously am very passionate about my own program, but, you know, as I often say, my work is a solution, but it's not the whole solution. And Curable really closes the circle. They have an online community, so there's even more support, and they have Curable groups. I don't know if you guys have heard about Curable groups. It's a 12-week, like a healing boot camp, and it's designed to help people not be alone in this. You know, I say to people all the time, the whole concept of not being alone is probably the most important thing in the world. As human beings, our lifeblood is connection. And actually, one of the things that I have heard is that at my 1440 retreat, which is the one I was supposed to do in April in Santa Cruz, California, that is now been rescheduled for October, a whole Curable group, I think almost all of them, are all coming together. So it's just pretty amazing. You know, these are people who I never would have met, and this app brought them together, and they also found out about my work. And now as a crew, they're coming together to learn with me at 1440, and hopefully in October, we'll all still be able to do that. But for now, we have the virtual retreat, which is going to be incredible. It really is. I'm really doing my very best to make it the very next best thing to being together. But Curable is just such a wonderful partner when you're doing my work to take it to the next level. And what's amazing about Curable sponsoring my retreat and this podcast is they're offering you guys 50% off an annual membership. So all you have to do is go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole. And my name is spelled N-I-C-O-L-E, so it's getcurable.com/Nicole, and you can get 50% off a year membership and just really dive into all this stuff that Curable offers. It's incredible. It's amazing. I'm grateful for it because, as I said, I am one person that is working my butt off to do as much as I can, but I can't do it alone. And here is an app that you can access from anywhere in the world, anytime that you need the help, the support, and the guidance, and it's right there for you. And I'll be talking about that also much more at the retreat and how we can integrate Curable into your healing plan. So in terms of preparation, I'm doing a lot of planning on it right now, and every one of my Omega instructors is going to be there, and they're going to be teaching what they would have taught at Omega. So even though nothing compares to the experience of being together there, and my heart is still so heavy that we can't be there together, this is really going to be the next best thing. And I'm also planning some community building activities, and I promise you guys, you will feel much less alone after the experience of us being together. So so if you want to learn more about my online retreat, June 5th through the 7th, please click the retreats tab at my website, www.thecureforchronicpain.com. Okay, so today we are going to talk about the concept of what we can do with our sadness, anger, and shame. Big topic. And I'll tell you where the inspiration came for this podcast topic. So the other day I was walking, and when I say walking, you should see what I look like. Sometimes I run and sometimes I ride my bike. But when I decide that I don't feel like running that day, or maybe it's really hot, or maybe I just want to give my body a break from all the pound, pound, pound of running, I walk, and I walk like a caricature of the suburban mom walking. Okay, so I got the ponytail on the top of my head, the headband thing around my head and my ears to keep the little wispy hairs away from my face and keep my ears warm, because sometimes I don't like the feeling of a lot of cold air in my ears. Have my AirPods in, sticking out of that little headbandy thing, and I walk like someone's chasing me, but I'm not allowed to run. So my arms are pumping, and it must be highly embarrassing to watch, but that's what I do. So I'm taking one of these power walks for many miles, and I'm listening to podcasts because that's what I do. I spend a lot of my exercise time thinking about you and what you need, and listening to the kind of content that will inspire me for what I want to bring to you. And so I have no idea. I don't remember what I was listening to at the moment. Probably Brené Brown, or I don't know what else. But I've been listening to a lot of Brené Brown, her Unlocking Us podcast. But I'm listening to this podcast. It's a beautiful day. I'm walking like a maniac. And it's just, and at the moment, I don't have any big lifey problems, meaning, you know, my kids are healthy, I'm healthy, my mom seems good, I'm enjoying my work, I'm being able to, you know, even though with the disappointment of all the canceled live events, I'm being able to bring virtual learning to you guys, and it's been going so great, you know. So Blue Dog's doing well, he's right here, he says hi. So, and I'm feeling this inner ache, this inner sadness, this inner tug that things aren't okay, that like it's almost like a darkness I'm feeling. And I'm sitting here walking, and the sun and the life and all the things, and I am completely in this moment shaming myself. What's wrong with you? You know, can you never be satisfied? You're sitting here with all this beautiful stuff. You know, it's not going to stay this way, because this too shall pass, whether it's good or bad. Life just keeps changing. And you can't even just feel totally blissful and satisfied in the moment. And so I'm having this really not kind, negative, shaming conversation with myself. And oftentimes that conversation continues until I realize I'm having it. And I might have to realize 10 times that I'm having it before it really lands, like, Nicole, this is not helpful, this dialogue. And what came to me, as I realized after the 10th little ping from my consciousness that this is not helpful, what came was, what if I'm just built with such big feelings and so much empathy and so much vigilance, like I am so aware of everything? What if the literally mind, body, and spirit, the way I'm built, there will always be a little bit of a sense of sadness, a little bit of a sense of dread or of worry or of second guessing? What if it's just part of who I am? What if it's part of the fabric of being Nicole? And what if being Nicole is a really good thing, but you know what? It's not always a pleasant thing. And what if this inner ache, this inner sadness, this inner desire for things to be more than they are, meaning like reaching more people or getting more exposure for my work or all the things that, you know, you guys hear me whining about, you know, what if that's part of my motivation? What if I was the type of person to feel completely blissfully peaceful in this moment, and then I wouldn't have the fuel to keep, you know, worrying on. That is not a word, but you guys know what I'm saying. Being a warrior. What if? And so I'm having this conversation and I just felt this peace come over me because I realized that what was happening in the moment is I wasn't fighting the experience anymore. I was accepting it. I wasn't shaming myself. I was saying, maybe it will always be this way, that no matter how beautiful and peaceful the moment is, there's a part of me that's just me. And once I came to understand that and just say, okay, well, that's how I am, I literally in that moment felt so completely peaceful. And it reminds me of the Eckhart Tolle quote that I have discussed here on this podcast and on my Instagram IGTV series, I Am Evidence, which is, stop trying to be at peace. The moment that you stop trying to be at peace, your non-peace is transmuted into peace. And that's exactly what happened to me in the moment. And then I thought about my mother. And my mom has always said to me over the years that the women in our family have this melancholy. She calls it the melancholy. And she says, Nana had it, and I have it, and you have it, which is, you know, there's sometimes just this sense of sadness. And it doesn't mean that we're depressed. I don't think my Nana was depressed. I don't think my mother's depressed. Not that there's anything wrong with being depressed. It's just a different equivalent of TMS, a different way we feel into our human experience. But I don't think of myself as a depressed person, but I have this kind of low grade melancholy. And I really think it might be, you know, I'm not yet enlightened enough spiritually about myself. Like I'm always learning more, but I'm not yet enlightened to really understand the way in which I relate to the world. I am curious and I suspect that some of my sadness, or, you know, ache, we'll call it, is not just mine. I think I really feel for the collective. And I think that that is part of my spiritual journey. And I don't think I have a choice. I think that's part of who I am. I think it's part of the beauty of who I am and part of the difficulty of being me. And so what I realized, though, in thinking about my mom and her discussing the melancholy and coming into this state of real peace about this inner ache that I have, that's the answer. That's what we need to do with our sadness, our anger, and our shame in concert with our journal speak practice. And so let me say more about this. So we have a lifetime of experiences to metabolize. As we grow, we outgrow our need, let's say, for shame. So shame has a shelf life. We are never taught this. Growing up, nobody ever sits us down and says, oh, you're 7 now. You don't need your shame anymore. Now you can completely feel great about how you are in the world. Nobody explains that to us. So basically, shame is necessary because when we're really little and we don't know how to be, we need our tribe to help us fit in, to help us know how to be successful in this world. So when you're 4 years old and you're in preschool and you decide to dump all the sand off the sand table onto the floor and jump on it and scream, you're going to see expressions on the faces of other kids, of probably fear and horror. You're going to have a reaction from your teacher that says, no, no, that is not how we behave. Now we're going to clean it up. And all of those things are going to trigger a feeling of shame. But that's okay, because the whole point of shame at that age is that that little guy or girl is learning how to be in the world. And when we learn how to be in the world, then when we're 8 or 9 or 12 or 15, we don't throw over all the apples in the grocery store. You can't do that. You can't do that because life isn't going to be a happy life for you. You need to understand at a young age that your impulses need to be, you know, your own. You need to own them and you need to control them. Otherwise, society will be a really difficult place for you to be. And so that kind of shame is necessary. When you're, you know, in kindergarten and you take off your shirt, your teacher says, oh, no, put your shirt back on. Because you can't take off your shirt when you're 10, you know, at your baseball game or whatever, if you're a girl. So I guess you guys get what I'm saying. The point is, there are behaviors that shame is useful to help us integrate ourselves into society and to be able to be a functioning member of society. But after about, I don't know, 7 or 8, depending on, you know, maturity and experience, we know how to be. We get it. You know, we start to grow. We start to mature. We understand that we function within our society and we don't step out of the bounds the way we would when we were really little. But the problem is, no one tells us that shame has a shelf life. And so now when we say what we perceive as the wrong thing, or we wear something that maybe, you know, the popular girl says, why are you wearing that? Or, you know, all the little things that happen to us, a bully says to us, what's wrong with you? Why is your hair like that? Why do you act like that? Why did you answer that question that way? You know, and we don't have to feel shame from that. That person doesn't know best. That girl doesn't know what we like, what we should wear. We can say what we want. We can think how we want, but nobody tells us that. And so we continue to feel shame over anyone else's opinion of us. And we continue to look around and try to be what we need to be in order to not feel that sting of shame. And the thing is that we don't need to feel shame anymore. We just do. So when you are walking around as your grown-up self and you're feeling a natural sense of shame or a natural sense of sadness or a natural sense of anger, because anger is normal. It's normal for things to upset us and for us to have our angry human feelings about it. So there's two actions that I think are really important. The first, of course, because especially if we're dealing with any sort of chronic condition or pain or anxiety or self-loathing, whatever's going on, we need to lower the reservoir. We need to lower that reservoir of fear and shame and anger and grief and trauma inside of us, because that's the way we get the symptoms to stop firing. So the journal speak practice is key. It's so key. And if you're resisting it, understand that that's just your nervous system trying to protect you from feeling your feelings. Say, thank you for sharing. I'm going to do this now. So the journal speak practice is imperative to bring that reservoir down. But once you're doing all the next right considered actions that you need to do, your journal speak, your meditation, your self-compassion, you know, patience and kindness for yourself, doing your very best to show up in the world as authentic. When you're doing that, the next step is what happened to me on my walk, which is when you find yourself frustrated with natural triggers, natural feelings of shame and anger and sadness, and whatever other feeling that you find yourself judging yourself for, the way I was like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just? When you're doing that, how about saying, so let's take anger. You know what? I'm angry. Maybe a little bit of me is an angry person. Won't necessarily always be that way. But today, I have not yet gotten to the point where I feel forgiveness for my father. I have not yet gotten to the point where I am not angry at my brother for the way he speaks to me. I am not yet at the point where I can forgive my daughter for the way she has disrespected me. Whatever, wherever this finds you. So that's how I am today. Maybe that's how I am. Maybe there's a little edge in me. Maybe this is the way I am. Now, remember, guys, just like journal speak, it doesn't necessarily stay true. So even though I came into beautiful alignment with my sadness the other day and I was able to feel total peace around it, I may not always feel this sadness. But in order to find the peace, it is an attitude adjustment. It is a mindful perspective in the moment that is true. At that moment, I needed to say, maybe this sadness is just part of me. Maybe this is good as it'll ever get. Maybe I just need to be okay with it. And should it change in the future, that will be that day. Just like if you are feeling all those angry feelings that I just described, maybe you'll come to a day where you don't feel those anymore, and that will be that day. But spending our energy fighting against what we actually feel right now steals from us and takes us back rather than forward in terms of our progress with our actual physical symptoms. You know, and shame too. You know, like let's say you're feeling a tremendous amount of shame. God knows we all carry shame about something. You know, since Lisa and I were just talking about it last week, body image. Let's say you pass by a mirror, you know, we're in quarantine. You've definitely been overdoing it with the food because you just needed that to soothe yourself. Oh, well, some, you know, I'm sure a lot of us did. And you catch a glimpse of yourself and you're like, oh, God, I've really let myself go, or whatever negative self-flagellating thing you might say in that moment. How about, like I said, always taking those feelings to your journal speak page. But, you know, later on, if you find yourself feeling it, just say, today, I guess I'm feeling ashamed of myself. You know, it's definitely the way I always have talked to myself my whole life. And if I'm to be honest, you know, there were people in my childhood that did make me feel ashamed of my body because I didn't realize that shame has a shelf life and I was looking to them for approval. So maybe today I'm just, you know, a person that carries a lot of shame. Maybe I always will. It's all right. Acceptance doesn't mean agreement. I don't have to like it, but that's where I am right now. And I just feel like if we can practice this, if we can come into full alignment with what is the state of being that we're in at the moment, they evaporate because it just, you don't spend all your energy trying to not be the thing that clearly at this moment you are. You know, I think that I picked sadness, anger, and shame for the podcast today, even though you really could apply any emotion, trigger, or state of being to those. You could just swap it out but I picked those three because I feel like those are the three biggies. Actually, we could put fear in there too. Fear too. Those are the four biggies that we really judge ourselves for being. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you so sad? What's wrong with you? Why are you so angry? What's wrong with you? Why are you so shameful? What's wrong with you? Why are you so scared of everything? And guys, it's not working to do that to ourselves. You know, what's the Einstein quote? Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. We do that to ourselves time and time and time again, often unconsciously, until we realize we're doing it. And you know, I'm here to say, guys, it's not working. It's not working. If I read a quote once, I'm not going to quote it perfectly, but it's something along the lines of, you know, if hating yourself was going to work, it would have worked by now. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We have to come into full alignment with what we are at the moment and say, I guess that's how I am right now. Even though the sun is shining, even though it's a beautiful day, even though everything seems completely copacetic in my world, maybe I'm just like this. Maybe I carry this with me. And finding that peace and finding that beautiful feeling of not having to fight against feeling it. Because what was happening to me on the walk is I was so annoyed with myself for feeling it that became worse than the sadness itself. And when I stopped being annoyed at myself for feeling it, when I just said, wow, well, maybe this will always be a bit of an aspect of me, it kind of brought me into like a tremendous amount of love and compassion for myself. Just saying, you know, if that's an aspect of me and if it's never leaving, then I can love it. I can love it because it's just part of me. Just like every part I like is part of me. You don't get to pick and choose what parts of yourself you keep and those that you discard. But what you can do, and this does really work, is you can wake up every day, show up for yourself, and do the next right considered action. And when you do that, what might happen is you might naturally shift away from some of those things that you thought would always be there. And on that day, that will be the day. You know, I will tell you that I am 48. I've spent the lion's share of my life until maybe 3 or 4 years ago caring so much about what other people thought that it was like a stake through the chest if anybody said anything unkind to me. And although it still bothers me and it's still part of me, I am really able to be with the space of some people aren't going to like me and that's okay. And it really, I'm not like bullshitting. It really feels okay. But you know, what got me here is a tremendous amount of little bits of acceptance. It's like breadcrumbs on the trail, little bits of acceptance of moments where somebody disapproved of me, you know, and triggered into my old daddy issues of being disapproved of or bullied or whatever the stuff happened to me when I was a kid. And instead of saying, what's wrong with you? Why do you feel this way? I said, yeah, well, makes a lot of sense that you feel this way. So I guess you're going to feel this way today. And by little moments of that, it really has transformed me. So just because you practice acceptance doesn't mean that you're giving up. It doesn't mean that you're saying, oh, it's okay with me if I'm always like this. In fact, if anything, it is the most useful tool in one day not feeling that way. So, you know, I think that's a really important thing for us to practice today. I think it can really help. And I think that if we can take that energy away from shaming ourselves, shaming ourselves for being shameful, and or any of the other feelings, and say, I don't want to put any more energy into not liking myself because of this. I'd rather just give up. And I know that the word give up can make people really confused. Surrender, just when I say give up, I mean surrender. And all surrender means is I'm not fighting anymore. Doesn't mean I'm okay with the state that I'm in. It just means I'm not fighting anymore. And oftentimes the easiest way to do that is to just say, I got nothing. I got nothing left. I can't give any more energy to this negative pattern. So I just surrender, you know, my hands to the wind, my face to the sky. However this goes, it's okay for me. All right, guys. Well, I hope that helped. I hope that gave you some perspective because I'm sure I am not the only person in the world doing this to myself. Shocker as it may be, I'm sure one of you is doing this to yourself as well. So I hope that helped. I really, really enjoy being with you guys every week. I really love spending this time with you. So thank you for taking the time to listen and to spend this time with me. And once again, I just want to thank Curable, the sponsor for this podcast and for my virtual retreat, for being generous enough to offer all of my listeners 50% off a year's membership to Curable. Go to www.getcurable.com/Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, to take advantage of that generous offer. And to all of you guys out there, this has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, and I will see you again next week. All right. Love you guys. Bye.